Christmas Chapel, presented by our music department. A joyous Christmas to you. What good news? What is the reason for our celebration? Let us think again of the wonder of this great fact of history, of how Christ emptied himself, sharing first our life, then our death, and who conquered death by rising again. I want to thank Trish and Knight for helping me put this little Christmas call to worship together. If there's a theme for our service this morning, it would be joy, the joy of Christmas. And as we open our chapel, I'm going to ask Jeff to come and lead us in prayer, and then we will be turning to number 125 in our hymnals and sing the theme of our service, Joy to the World.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season when we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. I'm reminded of the verse that says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we're so thankful for that, Lord, that you did come and you gave your Word and that Jesus Christ came to save us of our sin. I pray that you would bless this service, God, and we commit our lives to you. And we ask that you would especially bless this Christmas season as we turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen.
Number 125, would you please stand and sing together, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing.
To ask Tanya and Jeff Emmett to come to the microphone and to remind us what the ancient prophets of the Old Testament said about the coming of our Lord.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from the old, from everlasting. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great, and this one shall be peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he reads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 priestly men.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation.
Thank you, Tanya and Jeff. Would you please turn to number 150 in your hymnal? While you're turning to that, there are a couple of things about this carol that we're about to sing that you'll be interested in. One is, this carol is part of the Alfred Burt carols, which some of you may have heard of. And what happened there was that Alfred Burt used to write these carols and send them as Christmas presents, make them up like Christmas cards, and send them to his friends as Christmas presents. The second thing that I wanted to mention was that when you sing Gloria in Excelsis, which is Latin for glory to God in the highest, all you have to do to get it right is to say eggshell. Gloria in Excelsis, and it's absolutely right. Try it. Let's sing number 150.
Thank you.
concerts that we do every year, we've gotten into a tradition of having a faculty member or staff member come and tell us what Christmas means to them. And so I've asked Dr. Leroy Johnson to come this year and share with him, with us, what Christmas means to him. Come, Leroy.
I actually believe the assignment changed a little bit. I think I was to talk about a special Christmas maybe in our family, and I want to do that at this time. Family is what so many of us associate with the Christmas holidays, and I'm no different in that respect, even if I am as old as I am. And my earliest memories of Christmas, the very first one that I believe I remember was in the, quote, parlor of my grandparents' large farmhouse, opening presents by the light of flickering kerosene lamps in northern Minnesota with real candles burning on a Christmas tree, which today would be the scariest thing going, I think. I remember the gift I received was a wooden army tank about this big, and that's significant because my father was not part of this memory, because he was on an aircraft carrier in World War II out in the Pacific Ocean. I really have nothing but happy memories of Christmas with family, except for the time that while putting presents under the tree, I read through the wrapping paper what was in my big gift. It was something I desperately wanted, but knowing that that was what I was getting pretty well ruined Christmas Eve for a grade school boy. Our family of seven celebrated Christmas for several years in a one-room house until we moved up to a three-room house, but it was all fun, food and presents and family. Still very fond memories of Christmas, which seemed like another time and another place. Marilyn and I and our sons moved away from Minnesota and the families in the late 1960s, but we have had two wonderful occasions when we took our family back to be with the extended families at Christmas time. When our sons were in grade school and junior high, I believe, we took an Amtrak trip home for Christmas, which was a real family memory builder, as Marilyn likes to say. But one of the most memorable occasions was the time that we were back in Minnesota and North Dakota in 1987. We were living in Grand Forks, North Dakota, where I was doing doctoral work, and Marilyn was working in the university bookstore. And all of our sons and our one daughter-in-law at that time joined us for really two Christmases, one with Marilyn's extended family and one with mine. And being with family still made Christmas as meaningful as it had been in the mid-1940s. In fact, I was thinking about that this morning, and it goes without saying, but when you think about all the years that have gone by, there we were, the same ones, who had gathered around in many, many rooms in many, many different places. And here we were all together there in Minneapolis in 1987. And the incident that I want to highlight happened that Christmas. I believe it was Christmas Day, 1987. We're sitting around in one of my brother's homes in a suburb of Minneapolis. We divided the family into two teams and we're playing Pictionary with a large whiteboard and magic markers. My brother, at whose home we were, has a Down syndrome daughter named Kimmy, who was about 15 years old at that time. And so she sat there and watched this interchange and all the hooting and hollering that goes with Pictionary. And she asked if she couldn't draw on the board for us to guess. So Kimmy got up there and she drew an irregularly shaped head on the board. And we immediately began to shout, "Santa Claus, Santa Claus." And she said, "No," in a very definitive way, and continued to draw on the picture and drew something on top of the head of her figure. And we couldn't figure out what this was, and we were puzzling over it. And she finally said that this is a crown of thorns, and this is Jesus. And then she drew a hill with what appeared to be a cave door in the hill. And so, being very perceptive, one of us said, "That's where Jesus is born. That's where Jesus is buried." And she indignantly and exasperated said, "No, he is not. He is risen." Among the rest of us, there were quite a few moist eyes in the room as we realized the learning connection that this precious angel unaware was making between the two significant holidays, Jesus' birth and his resurrection. This childlike teenager caused me to remember why he was born in the first place. For the Johnson family, that's a very dear and clear memory of a significant Christmas. And as you spend time with your family around your Christmas celebration, my prayer is that you and yours will also remember why the Christ child came and rejoice over the wonderful news he brought to us all. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Now we're going to present to you our concert choir under the direction of Mr. Wayne Pumphrey. Choir, would you please come at this time? Thank you. Thank you, choir, for reminding us again of the wonderful joy that Christmas brings to us. In one of my classes recently, we were talking about what a service like this, or any service, should be involved with and should have as ingredients in it. And we looked at Isaiah 6 as a model. And if you remember Isaiah 6, where he sees this wonderful vision of God, first thing he says is that God is so awesome and so majestic that I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how I could stand to sit in the presence of God. And then a little later, the angel touches his tongue with coals from the altar and says, but you are cleansed. You are sinful, but you are cleansed. And with the precious blood of the Lord upon us, we can sit in the presence of God, but only because of what Christ has done and because of his coming. And then the last part of the service would be, as Isaiah said, as the Lord said, who will go? Who will tell others, not just that we receive this wonderful joy and this wonderful gift, but are you going to tell other people about it? Who will go to tell others? And that's what our last song is about. Number 138, would you turn to it? Go, tell it on the mountain. And as soon as you found 138, would you stand, please, for the singing of this song, 138. I'd like to thank all of the people responsible for this service today. Paul Melladonna for preparing our wonderful instrumental ensemble. Dr. Debbie White at the organ. Mrs. Heidi Lee at the piano, one of our piano teachers. Mr. Wayne Pumphrey with the choir. And just everyone that has taken part, we appreciate that so much. Now, while Josh finds his way to the platform, and it'll take him at least a half an hour, I think, to get around there, I'd just like to remind you that there's more of the same, more even, tonight at 7:30 right here in the chapel. nice free concert. And so please, if you're able to come in any way at all, you'll really enjoy it. Some extra things that we didn't do this morning, more songs by the choir, and just a wonderful Christmas celebration tonight. I've asked Josh if he would come and greet you with a wonderful Christian greeting and a closing prayer. Josh.
Well, greetings. Hello. You know, welcome to the Christmas Chapel. So that's my wonderful Christian greeting. I just have a thought to share for you. Just for you can go out. I'm reminded of the greatest gift that God gave us. And that's Jesus Christ. And it brings joy to my heart to think how much God loves us to give us that gift of His. But we can't stop there. If we fail to tell the world, to go tell on the mountain about the greatest gift that God has given us, then we have failed as Christians. As you go to home for Christmas, you're going to meet lots of relatives and friends that probably don't know Christ. So I challenge you to go till on the mountain and tell those people about God's greatest gift in your life. Let's pray. God, how wonderful it is to serve you and to realize how much you love us. You sent your very Son to die for us. God, what more could you do? How much more love could you show than to send your very Son to die a miserable death for us? Lord, I pray that you remind us of that great sacrifice and that great love. That will just not take the birth of Christ as just a little baby, but will take it as the birth of a king. The birth of one who took all our sins away. God, we just thank you for all you do for us, for the opportunity for salvation, for your love. Grant us your protection. Let your will be done in our lives. We love you so much. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Josh, and have a wonderful Christmas time. Thank you.
Good job. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you.